Basement Jacks and Just One Kiss and David Bowie, Jump They Say, to start the hour. 16 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Just wanted to mention this story that's been on the BBC News this morning. A camera system that uses AI and facial recognition intended to reveal states of emotion has been tested on Uyghurs in Xinjiang, the BBC has been told. A software engineer claimed to have installed such systems in police stations in the province. A human rights advocate who was shown the evidence described it as shocking. The Chinese embassy in London has yet to respond, directed the claims, but says political and social rights in all ethnic groups are guaranteed. Our citizens in the province are under daily surveillance. The area is also home to highly controversial re-education centres called high-security detention camps by human rights groups, where it's estimated that more than a million people have been held. Now, how this system works, it uses AI and facial recognition to interpret your emotions, i.e. how you're feeling, what you're thinking, and who you might be plotting against. So if a person's walking down the street and thinking, I don't like the Chinese president much, the AI system will
be able to...
He'll say, he doesn't like you. Thought police. It's the thought police. It really is. It's George Orwell's 1984 come true. Oof. Very, very dangerous precedent. If that catches on across the world, then we'll all be in deep trouble. What are you thinking?
I don't say anything now. No, yes, no. It's can you imagine?
Well, I can. But, I mean, so many of the things from 1984 are coming true. I mean, like the telly screen's basically your iPhone, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Very
and,
true.
And the next thing to come is the thought police. The software engineer agreed to talk to the BBC's Panorama programme under condition of anonymity because he fears for his safety. He showed Panorama five photographs of Uyghur detainees who he claimed had had their emotion recognition system tested on them. The Chinese government is using Uyghurs as test subjects for various experiments like rats are used in labs, he said. And he outlined his role in installing the cameras in police stations in the province. We placed the motion detection camera 3 metres from the subject. It's similar to a lie detector, but far more advanced technology. Your wrists are locked in place by metal restraints, and the same applies to your ankles. Evidence of how the AI system is trained to detect and analyse even minute changes in facial expressions and skin pores has been exposed. According to his claims, the software creates a pie chart with the red segment representing a negative or anxious state of mind.
Well, we'll have to keep the masks on. Can't do it if you're wearing a mask, surely.
And dark glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's probably cleverer than that. But no doubt somebody will come up with an invention that sort of blocks out your emotions to these things, like a screen.
Isn't that called alcohol?
Yeah, probably. That could be even more dangerous, couldn't it? No, somebody will come up with a kind of screening device which just sort of feeds white noise into the camera or just a white
lines.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Somebody will come up with something. Please, it's 8:19.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
It's Woofer of the Week time, and here's Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hello there.
How are you doing? All right?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, good, good. So what have we got this week?
Today I've got a 4-year-old male Griffin Cross, and he is looking for a really good forever home. He's black and tan, and he's got a little cheeky face. Griffins have lovely natures, and this one is no exception. He gets on with male and female dogs and could easily live with either. Flash is his name.
And he's...
I knew you were going to do that. Flash is his name, and he's very playful and affectionate. He loves people, and so he really needs a family who are going to love him back. I'm looking for humans who will want to walk him every single day, that have a fenced garden and who are not away for too long each day, as no dog likes to be left all day on their own. He's currently at the shelter in Mougins, that's called the Refuge de l'Espoir, and to set up an appointment, you can call them on 0493654411. You can also email them, and the email address is spa.grass@orange.fr to find out more.
Gordon's alive.
What will you play?
It's going to have to be that, really, isn't it? There's nothing else for it.
I think it has to be.
Okay, Dawn, thank you very much. Speak to you next week.
Wonderful. Have a great week.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Vieira Radio.
The press review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Yes, there we have it. The Eye newspaper says rumours are circulating in Whitehall that former number 10 chief advisor Dominic Cummings may release audio recordings he made during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic that will prove many of the recent allegations he's made against his former boss, Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
And in this morning's Parisian, France is working to address fears over protecting people's privacy when using the COVID health pass, which will be required for large gatherings. The health passes are to be hosted on Tous Anti-COVID, a voluntary app that will soon be expanded to also track coronavirus cases in restaurants, bars and gyms. Both the passes and contact tracing will take effect from the 9th of June in France.
And the Vancouver Sun says British Columbians can now host a dinner party with up to 5 other people, attend an outdoor event or wedding with up to 50 people, participate in outdoor recreation and sports, and dine indoors at a restaurant in passes no larger than 6 people. So we'll go to Hooters. Tuesday marked the first day of BC's four-step reopening plan, which has ties to first-dose vaccination rates and envisions a return to normal life expected by early September. Actually, not Hooters. Earl's is better.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
I can't believe I got Desmond Dekker wrong yesterday.
Well, yeah, but you came up with all the other...
I think a major brain failure. I even forgot the code for the door this morning.
Did you?
Downstairs, yeah. I had to have 2 goes before I got it right. Got the digits around the wrong way. Right, off you go.
Here we go. Question number 1. This American singer-actress was born on this day in 1920. She had the 1958 US number 8 and UK number 5 single...
Doris Day.
Fever.
Peggy Lee.
Correct. On this day in 1979, Sunday Gull gave
Blondie.
Who, well done, their second number one hit. The track was taken from the group's Parallel Lines.
I was going to say that.
Oh, were you now? And did you know it became the biggest selling album of 1979?
I didn't know that.
On this day in 1972, at the point of the band splitting up, David Bowie offered Who 2 of his new songs.
Not the Who, Paul.
Yeah, and can you give me, get an extra point... You can tell me the 2 songs he offered.
Well, All the Young Dudes was one.
That they recorded. And which one did he offer that they turned down?
Ooh. I think I know this, but...
But you don't.
But I don't. Oh, I'll kill myself when you tell me, because I'm sure I do know. Go on.
Suffragette City.
Suffragette City.
Yes.
Which one would you like?
Whichever one you want. Although All the Young Dudes...
Yeah.
...is one of my... personal favourites.
Well, we better play it then.
And it did get to number 3, and it is the one that Bob very kindly rearranged in my Fiat 500 when the sound levels were completely wrong on it.
Bob. He's good with stuff like that, is he?
He is very
good.
Radio. Business.
Hi.
Good morning.
What have you got against Tuesdays?
No, I had a client call yesterday, so was unable to join you. But,
you just don't like Tuesdays, that's it, come on, you know. Worst day of the week, isn't it?
I don't mind a Tuesday. Worst day of the week. I don't mind a Tuesday.
So what was it? Phil looking for someone to park his winnings, was it?
not exactly. But would happy... well, I'm not sure what should we legally can, but yes. I'm sure Mr. Mickelson is in enjoying his winnings and investing it appropriately.
Do you think he's spent them all already?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Okay, Mark...
quite a decent prize. Probably more than... what, $1.5 million probably for winning the PGA?
Beats working for a living, doesn't it? Okay, markets slightly lower on Wall Street yesterday. Investors looking for clues on inflation.
Yeah, equities fluctuating out of positive territory on signs that rising inflation could infringe upon the pace of the recovery, despite soothing words from Fed officials that policymakers would continue to look through near-term price pressures. Data showed US home sales fell more than forecast. As higher prices begin to restrain demand, US consumer confidence dropped for the first time this year as inflation concerns and reduced momentum in the labour market recovery curbed improvement in sentiment. S&P 500 was down, but only down 0.2%. NASDAQ was unchanged. In Europe, the Stock 600 was up less than 1%. And we're looking at a flat start on the European bourses this morning, so somewhat struggling for direction ahead of key inflation data.
The German economy has not done well in the first quarter. Signs are it's going to improve in the second quarter. But just looking at the trade figures with the UK, a big drop in German imports.
Yeah, they are. The German economy contracted more than expected, and Q1 output fell 1.8% quarter on quarter. It was down 3.1% on the year amid, of course, the coronavirus lockdown measures. But leading indicators showed business confidence is rising as the pace of vaccinations increase. If you look at the IFO survey, it rose to 99.2 in May. That's its highest value since May 2019. Germany has recently been moving to open up its economy. The government has raised its growth forecast for this year to 3.5%. It expects household spending to support the recovery once COVID restrictions are lifted. And actually quite positive as you look out to 2022 as well, where they're forecasting growth of 3.6%, saying the economy will reach its pre-pandemic level during the course of next year. Government also forecasting a pickup in inflation from the overall recovery and supply chain bottlenecks. Government expects price inflation in Germany to jump to 2.2% this year, 1.5% during the course of next year.
How about the French economy? Are garlic futures up?
Garlic futures. It comes down to the reopening again. The pace of reopening is going to be important there. Nice to see those curfews. Have they been removed now?
No, 9 o'clock at the moment. Sarah, when does it go to 11 o'clock?
The 9th of June.
9th of June, it's 11 o'clock, and then sometime July it'll be a free-for-all again.
Okay, and they'll be accepting UK tourists sooner rather than later, we hope?
I don't know about that, because there's rumblings in the press about the French government imposing some travel restrictions from the UK because of the Indian variant.
Indian virus, yeah. I did see some of that. So let's hope that isn't the case and we can all get back to normality. The good news around Europe, of course, is the pace of vaccination has been picking up quite significantly, and that is seen as really important in terms of its opening prospects.
And about that, things are Stelios is quite happy to have his stroll around the ports of Monaco without you getting in the way.
He enjoys our morning constitutional, I have to say. Catch up on the world.
And Amazon is closing in on MGM.
Yeah, looking set to confirm its acquisition of the movie studios, making the e-commerce giant its latest acquisition, and a big push into Hollywood. Thought to be paying somewhere around about $9 billion for it. The agreement would bring a vast library of movies and TV shows to Amazon's Prime Video service. MGM's catalogue includes the likes of James Bond, Pink Panther, and, of course, the Rocky franchise. Rocky? Are you a Rocky fan? There's only one good Rocky film. Rocky IV was a great film.
I can't remember. Any of them.
Ivan Drago in Moscow.
No, just the only thing I remember from Rocky is him running up the steps going da 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 da, that bit.
That is in Philadelphia, he does that, doesn't he?
Does he?
He dies, Rocky IV. MGM is currently owned by Anchorage Capital and has been seen as a takeover target for many years, but has not been able to conclude a deal. It would be Amazon's biggest acquisition since it agreed to buy Whole Foods in 2017 for $13.7 billion. Amazon has been investing in media content. It's invested $11 billion on content for its streaming video music service during the course of last year alone, and has agreed to pay around about $1 billion a year for NFL rights.
You're the last word in culture, really, aren't you?
Listen, I'm not going to be lectured about culture from someone who thinks Nanky Poo is something you eat with rice. So forget it. Forget it.
Final question this morning. Do you think Boris Johnson will be Prime Minister this time tomorrow?
I think he's in for a rough day, to be honest with you. Dominic Cummings set to be grilled by MPs, and some explosive messaging coming through from the former advisor means it's going to be a difficult day in Downing Street, one would suspect.
It's the pot calling the kettle black, though, isn't it?
You feel a little bit sorry for Boris Johnson on this one.
I mean, I don't feel sorry for either of them.
He really stood by Dominic Cummings, didn't he? I mean, there was a huge amount of pressure on him on that, you know, disastrous trip to Barnyard Castle or wherever it was, the eye testing drive and all that kind of breaking the rules. And he stood by him against immense pressure, and it's not exactly being rewarded for it.
He did sort of then not stick by him afterwards and started blaming him for leaking all sorts of stories to the newspapers. So we'll see what comes to pass this afternoon.
It's going to be a feisty day. Be good viewing, nevertheless.
Get the popcorn out. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar 141.5. Euro dollar now up to 122. Going to get €1 15.5 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potts from Barclays.
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
The French government has announced that from June the 9th, all bars, restaurants and sport complexes will have to display a QR code. Scanning a QR code with your phone via the Tous Anti-COVID application when entering a bar, restaurant or gym will allow you to know the COVID contamination risk within the establishment. The measure is part of the health protocol for the third stage to the end of lockdown, scheduled for June the 9th. It will also be available in paper form for those customers who do not have a phone. So how does it work? Well, the QR code must be displayed at the entrance of bars, restaurants or gyms so that it can be scanned by customers anonymously. The latter will receive an orange alert if a visitor present in the same two-hour time slot has subsequently tested positive for COVID. The instructions are then to get tested immediately, limit contact and monitor symptoms. If three people who have become positive have visited the establishment, a red alert recommends isolating yourself and being tested immediately. Meanwhile, the health situation continues to improve in the region, with the incident rate at 45 in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur for the week of May the 17th to the 23rd. The regional health agency reported on Tuesday that since the start of the epidemic, 1,959 people have died from COVID in the Alpes-Maritimes, 103 patients are hospitalised and 34 are in intensive care. In Monaco, there was one new case of COVID declared on Tuesday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,502. Three people are currently in hospital and seven are being followed by the home monitoring centre. And several internet influencers in France have reported being contacted by a public relations agency and offered considerable sums to take part in a campaign aimed at discrediting the Pfizer COVID vaccine on social media. The offers were made several days after the European Union announced the finalisation of a contract for 1.8 billion doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. The company involved in transmitting the offers initially asked potential participants to take part in an information campaign, which would involve talking about the vaccines currently available in Europe, especially AstraZeneca and Pfizer. In other news, independent coach operators in Paris have announced an Operation Escargot today from 9 a.m. Nearly 150 coaches are expected to take part in the protest against the lack of financial aid to the sector during the health crisis. And the move comes after a lack of response from France's Minister of Transport, who had been sent an open letter by unions. The first deputy mayor of Nice has called for an experimental legislation regarding the use of facial recognition cameras in the city. He said that town council will continue to develop new technologies and that the larger the security camera network, the more important the fight against delinquency. He added that drones are working and that they will be used in the city. Jean-René Palacio, artistic director of the SPM in Monaco and Jazin Juin, has died at the age of 67. For two decades, Palacio programmed all the biggest names in music, from James Brown to Diana Ross, creating the Monte Carlo Jazz Festival in 2005. And finally, the prefect of the Var has called on people to donate blood, saying that stocks are running low, especially in blood types O and B. To make an appointment to donate blood, you can go to rivieraradio.mc, where the information is available for the website in order to register.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football: Manchester United play Villarreal in the final of the Europa League tonight. The final in Gdansk is the first opportunity for United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to win silverware since he took charge of the club. He's won the Champions League with United as a player and says hopefully it's the start of a new era at the club. Kick-off at 9 p.m. tonight.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yeah. He's done quite well, hasn't he, really?
Very well. Mm.
UEFA has started disciplinary proceedings against Barcelona, Juventus and Real Madrid over their involvement in the proposed European Super League. The clubs were part of 12 founding members of the breakaway league, which later collapsed. The other nine clubs renounced the project, but Barcelona, Juventus and Real Madrid refused to do so. UEFA says proceedings have been opened against the three for a potential violation of its legal framework. No BBC football news this morning.
Oh dear.
Didn't turn up. Cricket, the second test match between England and New Zealand at Edgbaston is set to welcome more than 15,000 fans. The match is part of the British government's pilot events to test the return of big crowds to sporting venues. The second test between the two sides will start on June the 10th. And in rugby union, the Welsh Rugby Union hopes that 10,000 fans can attend each of the summer internationals at Cardiff's Principality Stadium. Wales has Canada on July the 3rd and have two test matches against Argentina on the 10th and 17th of July. The hope is to get 10,000 fans to the matches, or 25% of capacity. A final decision will be taken on the 7th of June.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Man, Seaman and the Var, the general situation, high pressure 1,029 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are southeasterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3. Variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,019 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine today, light to moderate southeasterly winds, top temperature 21 degrees, overnight lows 12 to 14 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine, highs of 19 to 21 degrees. Finally,
vegetarians who drink and smoke appear to be healthier than meat eaters because they have lower levels of cholesterol and are less likely to develop cancer, according to a recent study. Vegetarians who smoke and drink alcohol appear to be healthier than their meat-eating counterparts in the new study. The statement comes from the University of Glasgow, which found vegetarians have a healthier biomarker profile that includes lower levels of cholesterol, as well as a hormone that encourages cancer growth.
They're really healthy in Glasgow, so they know all about it.
Of course.
Deep-fried Mars bar, anyone?
I haven't had one of those for ages.
Well, you actually had one?
Yes.
You've had a deep-fried...
Have you not?
No, never. No.
Okay. And back to poetry.
Yes.
A funny young fellow named Perkins was terribly fond of small gherkins.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
So what's it like, then?
It's not bad. Why haven't you tried it?
Well, because just the thought of eating a deep-fried Mars bar leaves me completely cold.
Oh, no, you got to try it. I wouldn't have one on a regular basis, but...
God.
I wasn't making it.
You know, Natalie, who did make it? Was it made in a domestic setting? You didn't buy it from a chippy? Got any pickled eggs?